What is up, my love, and welcome back to the 1% Woman podcast. I am so excited for today's episode because it was inspired by a few of the client conversations that I had this week. Today, we're going to have a real talk. In today's conversation, you guys, the tea is piping hot. The fruit is hella juicy. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about. You probably already know by the title, but today we are talking about self-worth. And if you know me at all, and you know my approach to self-improvement, you know that I am not here to blow smoke up your ass and give you a ton of feel-good, super positive, inspirational shit that you've heard 100 times and surprise, surprise, hasn't changed much for you. My goal with everything that I share with you guys on here is going to have complete mind-fucking conversations specifically around self-worth today that is hopefully going to change your entire approach to self-development so that you can actually start connecting the dots, so you can actually start making sense of who you are and creating permanent transformation on the identity level to truly change your life. Today, one of my favorite conversations to talk about, self-worth, to me, it's like self-confidence, but it's even a layer deeper, which is why I freaking love talking about it so much. To me, by definition, self-worth is knowing your inherent value and having that deep belief that you are enough. And the reason that I believe it goes deeper than self-confidence is because confidence, to me, when I think about self-confidence, encapsulates all of the beliefs that you have about yourself. And all of these beliefs that you have about yourself are built on proof and evidence in your life. Whereas worthiness, different than confidence, is really just super focused on that one core belief, that belief of enoughness, regardless of any of the external indicators that may reveal it. I believe confidence to truly be something that you do have to earn through your actions, through keeping the promises that you make to yourself, through getting outside of your comfort zone, doing things that make you feel proud of yourself, building that muscle of self-trust that is so vital to your relationship with yourself. But worth is not something that needs to be earned because it's your value that lies within you, not outside of you. So the real question or challenge that I would say that creates low self-worth are the things that are blocking you from being able to see your value, are the things that are disconnecting you from your true sense of self. And so here are some of the sources of self-abandonment that I think are really common barriers to self-worth. Number one is attaching your worthiness to external validators. Success, material goods, looks, approval, validation. This is truly just a form, I feel like, of collective conditioning that we are all learning how to navigate through. That we are sold this idea that when we have more, when we have more money, more wealth, more love, more beauty, when we meet that standard of society, then we'll be happier, then we'll be more confident, then we'll be worthy, then we'll be more loved, then we will be more admired, then we'll be more successful, whatever it is. This is collective conditioning, and it's what causes us to fall victim to people-pleasing tendencies, toxic overworkaholism, being super attached to things that are external to us, falling victim to our uncontrollables or self-abandonment as a whole. And what happens to a lot of high achievers, and what happened to me in this sense, is you build a lot of success, but it's built on a really unstable foundation that leaves you feeling really empty or unfulfilled inside. And so this is the avenue in which I started to really go about healing my self-worth and connecting back to my true self, because I recognized that I was accomplishing incredible things externally, but internally there was something missing. And the piece that was missing was my true sense of self and my genuine sense of self-worth that I felt to be worthy of all the things that I was accomplishing externally. So that's the first, I feel like, common barrier of self-worth. The second one is shame. So shame is an emotion that sits at the level of your identity, your sense of self, right? That's what we're talking about here. So shame negatively impacts your sense of self because it makes you feel like there is a part of you that is inherently bad. And this bad part of you makes you feel unworthy of the basic human needs like love, like belonging, like safety. And then this shows up as feeling really inadequate in all areas of your life, whether it's your body, your health, your career, your money, your relationships. It is these parts of your sense of self that hold on to shame or pain from maybe different things in your past, or it's just the collective conditioning that need healing, that are plaguing, are toxic to your identity, that are pulling you away from this sense of self-worth that you deserve, that make you feel like there is a part of you that is not enough. And that leads me to the third common barrier that I think is really common that contributes to low self-worth is feelings of lack. Feelings of lack, or really being victim to an inferiority complex where you feel like you are less than, like you don't measure up, like you are not good enough. This often looks like you feeling stripped of your authenticity and overwhelmed with comparison, especially through social media, where all you see are everyone's exaggerated highlight reels. Or maybe you're someone who has so many ideas, like you're this creative entrepreneur, high achiever. You have so many ideas, but you never follow through on them because they don't meet the unrealistic expectations. They don't feel good enough. Or maybe you're someone who is always like intellectually magnifying all of your shortcomings, your failures, your flaws, your insecurities, your mistakes, and minimizing your strengths, your gifts, your power, your achievements. You're unable to receive a compliment. You feel like your achievements were all just a matter of luck. Or you finish every positive statement about yourself or your life with, but it could have been better. Or maybe you're someone who holds yourself back in social situations because they feel uncomfortable or they feel threatening. Or you attend them, but then you overanalyze everything that you said and did while you were there. These are all signs and all examples of that inferiority complex, of that feeling of not measuring up, not being good enough, like you are less than, like there are things that you would lack. These are all examples of what happens when you have an unhealed relationship with these parts of yourself that you lack, or if you're carrying that emotion of shame, or you're trying to mask your inner voids with external pursuits and attaching your self-worth to things outside of yourself. Your achievements, your approval, you become disconnected from yourself. And what happens when you start to identify with these things externally, when you start to lose your sense of self-worth, you start to develop really unhealthy expression of certain parts of yourself. This is where, as I was alluding to earlier, we start to fall victim to being a perfectionist, for example, who's always so hard on yourself, and that's why your inner critic is so loud. Or being a people pleaser because you care so much about what other people think about you. Or being quote unquote too type A, which is what I hear a lot from my clients, which is why you overanalyze and overthink everything and are always so overwhelmed. Or you subscribe to this identity of being shy and introverted because you struggle with social anxiety. Or maybe you define yourself by being ADHD, which is why your productivity is shit. The truth is, all of these identities that you're attaching yourself to that are these unhealthy manifestations or these unhealthy expressions are just masking the deeper discontentment that you carry within yourself. And I'm saying all of this because these are some of the exact limitations that I used to put on myself that made me feel like there was something wrong with me, or that made me feel like I was not good enough, that I was always going to fall second place, or that I was unworthy. So to loop all the way back around to the idea that self-worth is about being able to know your inherent value and believe that you are enough, it's not about more positive self-talk and more affirmations, which is probably all the shit that you've been trying. And maybe it's helped a little. Great, I love that. But has it actually created true permanent change on the identity level? Probably not. Because this positive self-talk and these affirmations, they're truly just bypassing and resisting these inherent parts of yourself that have become such a huge piece of your identity. And because you're bypassing and resisting these uncomfortable parts of yourself, it makes them even stronger in that unhealthy expression. The truth is, building self-worth is all about being able to learn how to accept them. Accept your shadow. Your shadow, these unconscious emotions, desires, traits, fears, insecurities, vulnerabilities, impulses that you deem as unacceptable parts of yourself, yet are simultaneously exerting a really powerful influence on your beliefs and behaviors that form your identity. And so once you become aware of these parts of yourself and you learn how to start to accept them, then they lose their power over you and they're no longer manifesting in your life in unhealthy ways, in their unhealthy expression. So let me give you some examples of what this looks like with those identities that I just shared with you guys. When you start doing shadow work to start accepting the part of you that feels flawed, for example, then your perfectionism doesn't control you and you start to embrace your imperfections and show up as a more authentic, self-expressed version of yourself. Or you stop procrastinating and just start taking messy action towards your goals. Or when you do shadow work to nurture the part of you that is fearful of rejection, that uncomfortable shadow, then your people pleaser learns how to set healthy boundaries and speak up for yourself and put yourself first. Or maybe you start to acknowledge that part of you that attaches your worth to your work. Then your type A personality is able to take a chill pill, enjoy rest, have more freedom, not be a slave to work, not burning yourself out. Or maybe you start healing that part of yourself that feels judged or misunderstood by others. Well, then that part of you that is introverted is actually able to develop more intimate relationships. Or maybe you learn how to have compassionate awareness towards your impulsivity or the distractive triggers that turns your ADHD from the crutch that is currently holding you back to something that has taught you workflow and hacks for how to maximize your ability to focus and actually be able to take advantage of the creativity that comes with it. This is the power of shadow work. This is the power of exploring the parts of yourself that feel like your biggest weakness and limitation to find out how you are currently benefiting from them in some way, and then redefining what they mean about you so you can alchemize the gifts and strengths that they can also contribute to you. This work has radically transformed me and my relationship with myself and is so eye-opening to so many of my clients when they start to introduce them to this. And instead of just focusing so much on amplifying their positive traits and their strengths and their gifts and all the incredible pieces and parts about them that we all know and we share and we love, we actually start to nurture the parts of them that don't feel good enough, and we face and have those more like uncomfortable conversations, but the conversations that are actually truthful and honest and real and raw and vulnerable, that's where true healing occurs. And healing begins the transformation process. So shadow work is my very first answer for where you need to start if you want to build more self-worth. It's less about going out and seeking proof that you are enough because of all the wonderful things that you've accomplished and chanting affirmations about how amazing that you are. We already know all this, and that is just avoiding the core underlying issue. What's missing is actually facing the parts of you that are wounded within, that are disconnecting you from your true sense of self. So you may be asking, while I did just share some examples, you may be asking, so Gab, how do I start doing this? How do I start doing some shadow work? There are a few ways. Obviously, a lot of self-reflection on your beliefs and your behaviors, because beliefs and behaviors, those are the two things that make up your identity. And this is really the core foundation of identity work. So if we're having and we're doing a lot of self-reflection around your beliefs and behaviors, beliefs, really what I want you to explore here is your negative self-talk. Not to change your negative self-talk and make it more positive, right? Rather, to get curious about where this negative self-talk is coming from. Become the investigator of your thoughts instead of the victim to them. Start to question all of your beliefs by asking yourself, is this thought true? Write down that question right now in your journal somewhere. That question will literally change everything for you when it comes to your thoughts and becoming the master of your mind. Is this thought true? And then that can begin the investigation process. But we'll just start there. Now, if you are doing reflection around your behaviors, these are usually some of the emotional reactions, those protective patterns, or those trauma responses that you are habitually programmed to do when something triggers you. Those reactive behaviors, those protective patterns, those trauma responses, those habits that just like show up for you whenever you feel triggered, those are revealing a shadow. And I like to say that there are usually active and passive responses to a trigger. You have your active responses, which would typically classify like the fight and fawn trauma responses that you learn about. But the active responses to a trigger are you getting really defensive, you getting really angry, you having some like emotional outlash. Those are like the fight trauma responses. The fawn trauma responses would be pleasing, becoming the fixer, having like this sense of like lack of boundaries where you're trying to fix everything and trying to, subscribe and make sure that everyone's happy, even at the cost of your own self-abandonment. So that would be an active trigger response. Those are active behaviors. Now there are also passive behaviors, which are the flight and freeze trauma responses. These passive behaviors that might show up. So maybe you flight, you're a very avoidant, you brush it off, you put on this like tough girl armor, like, and act like nothing is wrong, or like there is no pain or shame under there that is being triggered. You just kind of brush it off and suppress any emotions that are coming up for you. Or you freeze. You literally become paralyzed and shocked and like unable to respond. Those are passive behaviors to triggers. Like I said, your behaviors are going to reveal a lot because you don't always have control over your circumstances, but what you do have control over is the choices that you make within them. And these behaviors are going to reveal those choices that you're making within them. Those choices are going to say a lot about you on a subconscious shadow level because they are habitual, they are automatic. And so they're coming from beneath what you are consciously aware of or who you consciously know yourself to be. It may be those examples where you feel like you act out of character. Well, they're probably acting from the place of a shadow. And it's just a matter of doing some compassionate investigating. Having some compassionate curiosity is what I like to say around that part. So the goal with doing shadow work as a whole, as I demonstrated with some of those identities and parts above, the perfectionist, the people pleaser, the type A, the introvert, the ADHD, like those shadows that I just kind of demonstrated above, it's learning self-acceptance of those parts through healing and redefining them or changing what those parts mean about you. And one avenue that I really want to touch on here are not just the parts of you that you don't like, but as I mentioned earlier, we want to talk about the parts of you that you also feel like you are lacking. The places where you are telling yourself the story that I am not blank enough, insert whatever word really is coming true for you right now in this season of your life. And I want to give you some harsh, like tough love. The harsh truth is that story might actually be true. Like right now in your life, you might not be blank enough or might not feel blank enough. The truth is we can't all be everything. And so there are some things that you aren't going to be the best at. And that's okay. I think that there is a really common misconception that self-worth is being able to believe that you lack nothing, when that is quite literally far from the truth, and why the toxic positivity of the self-help space is toxic. Instead, self-worth is about being comfortable with what you do lack. Learning how to be comfortable with things like failure, like rejection, like vulnerability. How? Well, in my experience, finding neutrality around these things has been life-changing. The art of neutrality has changed my life. So for example, to me, failure is a necessary part of the journey, especially specifically in business. Failure is not something that I see as good or bad, and is definitely not something that I'm going to be taking personally from this point forward. Or another example, to me, rejection is a redirection. Cliche term that you probably hear a lot, but it's true. When you stop seeing rejection as a bad thing and you start seeing it as a redirection, start recognizing that socially, I'm okay if people don't like me because I'm the happiest that I've ever been letting myself be myself. And that's all that matters. That's the power. And you don't have to be scared of rejection. It's okay if people reject you because you like you for you. And that's what really matters. Or another example of vulnerability. This is the only way that you can experience love that is given and received that is truly unconditional. And that if I happen to get heartbroken, I know I'm still going to be okay. I would rather have uncomfortable conversations, set boundaries, express how I really feel, at risk of getting hurt, than never being vulnerable and never building solid, unbreakable relationships. So failure, rejection, vulnerability, they're not a bad thing. I am comfortable with them. And so there's a very big difference between, to me, taking things personally and taking responsibility. You are not defined by these things, but you can take ownership for them. I can take ownership for failure. I can take ownership for rejection. I can take ownership for vulnerability and see how that can allow me to grow, to change, to improve, to evolve, to make different choices next time. But I don't take them personally. One of the best ways, I think, in my opinion, to explain the difference between taking something personally and taking responsibility is exploring the difference between feelings of like guilt and shame. Guilt is a realization that you aren't living within your own personal standards, that you made a mistake, that you did something that you're maybe not so proud of or that you wouldn't want to do again. Guilt is an emotion that can generate energy to create change. To me, guilt forces growth. Is looking and is saying, oh, I made a mistake. How can I improve or be better for next time? What changes can I make for next time or to get a different outcome next time? Versus shame. Shame is an internalization of that, is an internalization of your problems, your failures, your mistakes as I am a problem. I am a failure. I am a mistake because of what happened. And to me, shame keeps you the same. And that's the difference between taking something personally and taking responsibility. And I think when we can take responsibility for the areas of our life that we lack, instead of taking them personally, that's where we can really start to see exponential self-improvement and growth from a healthy place. Because ultimately, all that self-worth really is being able to accept yourself for who you are, even with all the quirks and flaws and mistakes and fuck-ups. And so it's accepting yourself, accepting responsibility for these parts of yourself, and learning how to heal your expression of them and heal them. Which leads me to some of the other really important things besides shadow work that you can start to do to build your self-worth by reconnecting with your sense of self to heal your identity, start seeing your inherent value, and believe that you really are enough. The first exercise that I do with a lot of clients is called timeline work. So this is about going back to that younger version of yourself, ages 1 through 7. Who were you when you were a little kid who could care less, who didn't have all of the conditioning and the rules and the expectations around who you needed to be? What did you like to do? Who did you like to be around and with? What were you like? What was your personality? That can reveal to you your authentic identity, pieces and parts of it, is reconnecting with that inner child within you. So timeline work has been really powerful for me in really starting to peel back the layers and learn a little bit more about and reconnecting with that sense of self. Number 2 is finding your purpose. And I, by no means, like, I know that I used to get super overwhelmed by this, this goal of finding your purpose, because it makes you feel like you have to have it all figured out. And that's by no means what I mean. I don't mean that you have to have it all figured out and know exactly what you want to do with your life forever. But I want you to really ask yourself, what is true for you in this current season? What is your why right now? What gives you meaning? What makes you feel fulfilled and fills you with passion and aliveness? That's where you should start. Start there, start somewhere, and let it evolve as you do. Your purpose is going to evolve. Maybe it's from being a boss-ass bitch CEO to being the best mother to being whatever. Maybe it was an athlete at some point. Like, finding your purpose and letting your purpose evolve as you do gives you meaning, gives you a deeper why, can help guide you as the North Star for how to show up in your life, how you want to show up in your life as the highest version of yourself. So finding your purpose, that can really, really, really help with connecting back to your sense of self and building your self-worth. Number three is leaning into your people. Sometimes your people, the people closest to you, can see things in you that you aren't able to see within yourself. One of my favorite exercises that I have done throughout my self-improvement journey or self-healing journey has been asking people close to me, what do you think that I'm best at? Better than anyone else that you know. And you might be surprised by some of their answers. I know I asked my dad, my sister, one of my best friends at the time. I asked a client. I asked a coworker. Like, asking different people that know you in different areas of your life, what they perceive you to be the best at, better than anyone else that they know, can be really eye-opening to what those gifts that you have may be, that you aren't even aware that you embody. So lean into your people. They can be really helpful for helping you see some of those blind spots. Number four is going to be staying in integrity. So this is kind of tying us back a little bit to that idea of self-confidence, because I think both are really important and they definitely go hand in hand. But staying in integrity, continuing to build that muscle of self-trust where you show up for yourself, keeping the promises that you make to yourself. Self-trust to me is one of the most important foundations to your relationship with yourself. And healing that relationship with yourself is what's going to help heal your self-worth. So staying in integrity. And last but not least is leveraging gratitude. And I see gratitude as a really powerful tool in the sense that it can be used as proof and evidence for your ability to continue to experience more of the things that you have already experienced, or the things that you have already achieved, or the things that you have already done. And so gratitude, I think a lot of people struggle to practice gratitude because they feel like it is making them complacent or stay where they are. And that's not what gratitude to me is at all. Gratitude is being able to look backwards or even look in your present and see all of the incredible things that you've been able to do up until now and use that as proof for how you can continue to exponentially even grow and achieve and do more in your future. It is, to me, one of the best anecdotes to the feeling of I'm not good enough, or feelings of low self-confidence, or feelings of imposter syndrome, because you already have, I bet, so much proof and evidence from your past for why those stories or why those limiting beliefs are not true. Better yet, I encourage you to create a success inventory. Like, literally write down the list of all of the things that you have achieved up until now. Even the littlest, the smallest, littlest things that you have been able to achieve and do. Like, don't just think big, think really small. Maybe it's the things that you do every single day consistently. And then I like to take this a step further, and I don't just like to list out my successes, but list out your successes and attach a part of your identity to it. How does this success, or what part of your identity, contributed to you being able to manifest this success in your life? What characteristics, traits, qualities do you inherently possess that never go away, that are under your control, that you can always access to create more? How does your successes attach to a part of your identity that you desire to have? Or that you already have, right? Because you already have proof and evidence that you have it. I also think that leveraging gratitude and leveraging this success inventory helps you get out of that negativity bias that our brain always gravitates towards, that overshadows the successes, achievements, compliments, and growth that you've had all the time. Like, our brain is literally wired towards a negativity bias. Just think about it. You walk into a room, you get 10 compliments, but you get one criticism. You are going to hyperfixate on that criticism than you are the 10 other compliments. Like, it's like the 10 other compliments didn't even happen because of the one criticism. That is because our brain is wired towards that negativity bias as a form of safety and survival. But the more that you practice things as simple as gratitude and a success inventory, the more that you're going to be able to silence that negativity bias and really magnify the strengths, the gifts, the successes, the achievements, the growth, and sink yourself deeper, I guess, into that belief that you are enough. So those are some of the other things that I think are really important outside of shadow work for starting to build your sense of self-worth. Quick note before I do close off, because I just think it is important to recognize that feelings of low self-worth are just fucking feelings. They can be just fucking feelings. And feelings, they come and go. Sometimes you just need to ride the wave and let it fade and not give the feeling of low self-worth too much thought, because that might only amplify it. And instead, really think about giving yourself the space to feel it and then work through it. Create separation from the feeling. Separation can be really, truly key to actually being able to come to a solution instead of just digging yourself into a deeper hole of despair and putting the focus on how you can grow instead of feeling like a victim. It truly is just a feeling. And feelings come and go. So sometimes we don't have to think too much into it. And the thing about self-worth also is that it's a completely self-centered, subjective view of what we perceive our value to be. Like, there truly is no way to measure self-worth. It is all made up in your mind. And so it's highly dependent on the metrics in which you are using to determine how you feel about yourself. Some metrics that we use are good. They're useful. They're empowering. They're within your control. Metrics of integrity or work ethic or honesty. Other metrics are shallow, are external, are impermanent, are unfulfilling. Those things like success, achievements, approval, validation, money, your body. So to close off today's episode, I really just want you to reflect and ask yourself how you are choosing to define your self-worth. And then use the tools in this episode to work from there. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope that this was helpful and inspiring and made you just kind of think a little bit differently about building your self-worth. If you found this episode helpful, I would really appreciate if you guys would leave a review, 5 stars, share this episode with someone that you know needs to hear it. Your support on the podcast literally means the absolute world to me. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye, guys.